course, those things are related to each other. The contact time is about 1,000 seconds. So in order to turn that ball around and send it back out again in such a short amount of time, you need a big force field. That's what the new performance. All right, so how do we quantify that performance? And people have thought about this for some years now, and for the purposes of regulating that performance, people have sort of decided that the way to the metric that we will use is batted ball speed under game conditions. How fast is that ball coming off the bat? Clearly, if you're trying to hit a home run, you hit the ball at the right launch angle, the higher the batted ball speed, the further it's going to go. But even if you're just trying to get a line drive through the infield, the higher the batted ball speed, the more likely you get it. So all except for a certain situational kind of hitting, batted ball speed is really what matters. Okay. So then the question is, what does batted ball speed depend on? What characteristics of the parameters of the problem does it depend on? Well, it depends on how fast the pitch is, but not very much. It depends on how fast the bat is moving, a lot. And it depends on some property, a joint property of the ball and the bat, that this bat, you can't do a talk like this without a bat, that I like to call the collision efficiency. It's a number, okay? It's a number between minus one and plus one that characterizes how efficient that collision is. By the way, bat speed, in terms of batted ball speed, bat speed matters about 6 times more than pitch speed. So in other words, if I increase the bat speed by 1 mile an hour, I'm going to increase the batted ball speed by about 1.2 miles an hour. And if I increase the pitch speed by 1 mile an hour, again, all other things equal, I'm going to increase the batted ball speed by about 2/10 of an hour. It's about a factor of 6 difference. It's a huge difference. Yes?
What about the weight of the bat?
I'll get to that. So now,
it's a plant.
Where's the next person I planted a question? Okay, so I really prefer this. So now I want to focus in on that collision efficiency. What properties of the bat determine the collision efficiency? And there's really only two properties. The property known as the coefficient, and I'll talk about these in detail. The property known as the coefficient of restitution and the weight of the bat. Okay, so I want to examine both of these in some detail. The coefficient of restitution has to do with the bounciness of the ball. You drop a ball on a hard surface, you know, it bounces, okay? It doesn't come up to its initial height. If it were a super ball, it would bounce up to very close to its initial height. A golf ball is a little bit, you know, not quite as good as a super ball. A baseball is down here somewhere. And you can see it from this. The ball is bouncing off the plate with about half the speed as it initially had, which means it only gets up to about a quarter of its initial height. It's very, very inefficient collision. And most of the inefficiency of that collision comes because that ball gets crushed. It's the rubbing together of the yarn, creating heat, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, and it's very, very inefficient. But the bat matters also. It matters what you're bouncing the ball off of. So typically, nowadays, one doesn't talk about the COR. One talks about the ball-bat COR because it's a joint property of the ball and the bat. So now, look at these two big. This is the one you've seen already, where the ball hits the bat at the sweet spot of the bat. And here, the ball hits the bat on the outside. We give a tip. Look at the vibrations of the bat in this case. It almost gets knocked out of his hands. You see that? Not so here. It's very, very smooth. So, sweet spot. By the way, you can pick up any bat. Now I'm going to talk really loud so you can hear me, and you can find this yourself. In fact, let me use this microphone. You can just hold that bat very lightly, about 6 inches from the handle, from the dog, and just pound it with a ball, you can hear the vibrations. And right here, you can hear those vibrations pretty much go away. Vibrations, no vibrations, vibrations. That's sort of the sweet spot. It's maybe 6 or 7 inches in, 6 inches or so in from the barrel tip of the bat, okay? And you know, if anyone who's playing the game knows, you hit the ball and it doesn't hit the sweet spot, it stings, it's vibrating, and the ball doesn't go off the bat quite as fast. So the coefficient of restitution, here's just a plot that shows it depends on where the ball
hits along the barrel of the bat. It's largest right at the sweet spot, and it drops off from there. And you can associate that variation of the coefficient of restitution with the energy that actually goes into vibrating the bat. So that's what I'm talking about so far is a wood bat. What makes an aluminum bat different? An aluminum bat is a hollow object. I don't have an aluminum bat with me here. But because it's a hollow, this is important. Because it's an aluminum, because it's hollow, when the ball hits the bat, it can do something like this. That's what you're seeing in these pictures here. Okay? The wall of the bat itself can compress. What effect does that have? Well, in a wood bat, when the ball hits the wood bat, essentially all that energy goes into compressing the ball. You saw that in the video. And that's a very inefficient process. When the ball hits the aluminum bat, some of that energy goes into compressing the wall of the bat. And that energy is actually very efficiently returned back to the ball again. So the net result is less compression of the ball and less overall energy loss, more bounce. And this is what is popularly called the trampoline effect. It makes the ball bat coefficient of restitution larger and therefore makes the aluminum bat better. And I can give you an example of that, but I think I'll pass on that now. So the way the coefficient of restitution enters, it enters in where along the barrel of the bat the ball is hit, and that's the difference really for aluminum and wood. But you get a big difference, 10% or so difference, maybe even unregulated, it could be as high as 20% difference in that coefficient of restitution when you aluminum bat. Let's talk about the weight of the bat. Turns out that it's not the actual weight that really matters. There's been a lot of research that shows that it's what's called the swing weight. Technically it's called the moment of inertia, or MOI. It has to do not only with the weight of the bat, but where that weight is concentrated. So for wood bats, most of the weight is concentrated in the barrel of the bat, because it's a solid piece of wood. It's much more uniformly distributed for aluminum bats. So for aluminum bat, for aluminum bat and wood bat weighing the same, the aluminum bat will have a lower moment of inertia, a lower swing weight, making it easier to swing. You can probably get a higher bat speed with aluminum than you can with wood. Okay, so let's examine that. The higher swing weight means more weight in the barrel. You get a higher, so there are two things going on here. On the one hand, suppose you have two bats. You want to compare aluminum with wood. Look at this bottom line first. A higher swing weight, higher moment of inertia, like a wood bat has, means you're going to have lower bat speed. That decreases the bat ball speed. On the other hand, you're going to have more weight behind that collision. You're going to actually have an improved collision. And those two things go in opposite directions. They more or less cancel out of the problem. Okay? They more or less cancel out of the problem. So of the two things that I told you that matter for batted ball speed, okay, the ball bat COR, the coefficient of restitution, the bounciness of the ball, and the weight of the bat, turns out the weight is not all that important because of these two competing effects, collision efficiency versus swing speed. It's sort of the same as the cork bat argument. So since those two offsetting factors roughly cancel out, the BB core, the ball bat coefficient of restitution, is left as sort of the primary factor that determines how that bat will perform. That's one of the key things that's been learned over the last decade of research about bats, and it played a very important role in the NCAA's new bat performance standards. I'll tell you about it in a second. But again, this is sort of a cork bat argument. Here's Sammy Sosa watching his cork bat. Research basically shows that by corking the bat, so you're decreasing the weight of the wood bat by drilling a hole in it and filling it with cork, you increase the bat speed, but you decrease the collision efficiency. And the question is, which one wins? Okay, the research has shown actually that you decrease batted ball speed by doing. So if your goal in life is to hit the hardest ball possible, the longest fly ball possible, it's actually a losing proposition to cork your bat. There are other reasons why you might want to cork your bat, which I won't go into, but hitting the longest fly ball is not one of them. Okay, a curious feature. This is actually a rubber bat. It cost me $50 to have this specially made just for this kind of demonstration. And this gets to the heart of the video that I showed you at the beginning. So here's what I want you to look at. That's my hand right there, and I'm holding this ball, and I hit the end of this bat. And I want you to watch the handle. And what you're supposed to see is that handle does not immediately move after you hit the barrel. It takes time for this little wiggle here to propagate up the bat. Okay? The handle starts to move after a noticeable delay. Now, the delay is such that by the time the reflected wave gets back down here again, the ball has already left the bat. It probably takes about maybe 1.2 thousandths of a second, 1.2 milliseconds for the pulse to get up here and back down again, and by then the ball has already left the bat. What does that mean? That means that nothing on the handle end of the bat could possibly matter as far as what happens to the ball. Nothing. Not the knob, the handle, the diameter of the handle, and not the batter's grip. So, if you think about it, the batter could just as well let go of the bat just prior to the ball hitting the bat, and it would make no difference to what happens to the ball. I have been saying this statement for 10 years, and finally this year, I have proof. Not that I didn't have proof before, but this is quite dramatic proof. So this is Todd Frazier's No Hands Home Run, happened over Memorial Day weekend, and some of you may have seen this already. His top hand is completely off the bat, okay? His bottom hand is barely in contact with the bat. I mean, this is essentially a free bat when the ball hits it, and that ball went for a home run. It traveled, I think it traveled about 385 feet or something like that. It was a well-hit ball, okay? And that just shows that the grip on the bat, during the time the ball and the batter are in contact with each other, the grip simply doesn't matter at all. And that goes contrary to what a lot of people think. Okay, so let me now talk about the new NCAA standard. The basic idea is that this ball-bat coefficient of restitution is the surrogate for bat and ball speed. And remember the reason. It's because the weight of the bat simply doesn't matter. It sort of cancels out of the problem. And just to review that again, if you make the bat heavier, higher swing weight, you're going to have a lower swing speed, but you're going to have a higher collision efficiency. And the opposite. If you make the bat lighter, you're going to have a higher swing speed, but you're going to have a lower collision. See what basically cancels out of the problem? Leading the ball bat coefficient of restitution is being basically the only thing that determines how that bat's going to perform in the field. Okay, so the ball bat coefficient for at typical speeds, you know, representative of the game, 150 miles an hour, which is the relative ball bat speed. What matters. The ball bat coefficient of restitution for a wood bat is something like 0.5, 0.49, something like that. And so the NCAA Rules Committee decided that's where we're going to draw the line. They drew the line at 0.500. This is a quantity that can be measured. I'll show you how you do that in a second. So it's just barely above the wood level. Okay? This is how you measure it. Here's a high-speed cannon. This is going to cycle through again and again. Here's a high-speed cannon spinning out a softball in this case. Here is the ball traveling. It bounces off the bat. The bat recoils. Ball bounces back this way. These yellow things here are so-called speed gates. The ball interrupts a beam of light. You get a little pulse. And by measuring the time between these pulses and knowing the separation, you can measure the speed of the ball. And you measure the speed on its way in, you measure the speed on its way out, you plug into some well-established formulas, you can get the ball bats to you want. So it's easily measured. This comes from Washington State University, where all the NCAA measurements are done these days. Okay, so here it is. This is the slide I showed you at the beginning. And look what happened. A 10%, basically, ball bat CORs were typically about 10 or 12% higher prior to 2011. The NCAA decided on their, that they started implementing that change at the beginning of the 2011 season, and you see that the number of home runs has dropped by nearly a factor of two, which is pretty much what was predicted. I mean, the great takeaway from my point of view is science really does work. I mean, this is why. And I'd like to bring that up whenever possible, because there are many people out there who don't believe in science. All right, there are other issues, and this is an ongoing process. Composite bats, for example, have their own issues. It's the so-called accelerated break-in issue. Any amateur ball player knows, or if they don't know, they ought to know, that composite bats, not aluminum, but they're made of carbon fiber material, they actually get better with use. What happens is these things are carbon fibers with epoxy and all this stuff, and the more you whack them, the more it loosens up the epoxy, and you get more of a trampoline effect. You're making that barrel more flexible. And so we have had, with the NCAA committee that advises the NCAA on these things, have come up with a technique that would take that into account in the test. And then, let me go back here. Another recent development is we have learned, if you're testing a bat, you have to test it with a ball. Balls are not perfectly uniform. They have different properties, slightly different weights, you know, different coefficients of restitution, different hardnesses, okay? And it actually took some time, but we finally developed a pretty good scheme for taking the property, for normalizing out the effect of the ball when testing the bat. So that's another development that's happened in recent years. But the bottom line is, I sort of got started on this whole thing about 10 years ago, and in my arrogance, I thought then I knew everything there was to know. I know a lot, lot more. I mean, I and the people I work with on these things, we really do know a lot more now than we did then. And the proof of the pudding is in the taste. I mean, the new NCAA regulations, just they seem to work. They have the desire. So thanks for your attention. Here's a screenshot of my website. There's a whole section in there on bat performance research if anyone wants to go and take a look at it. Thanks. Actually, MLB undertook a study. It was about 10 years. I think it was exactly 10 years. It was in 2002. And I was sort of an advisor for that study. And interestingly, we found no difference in performance among, well, the principal thing was comparing ash with maple. No difference whatsoever.
Does that make scientific sense?
It makes perfect scientific sense, actually. It makes sense because for a wood bat, the ball bat coefficient of restitution, which is the thing that matters, is almost entirely a property of the ball. There is no trampoline effect. Yeah.
So,